Did you say he brought a digital camera or someone will have a digital?
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. It was like a flashback from yesterday. Anyway, we've been plagued with technical difficulties and glitches, but that's okay. Greetings to the brightest audience in Colorado, in the nation, and even around the world via KGOV. I want to welcome our listeners here in Colorado to KLTT, the mighty 50,000 watch blowtorch for the gospel. Here in the Rocky Mountain West, nationally, globally, via KGOV. I'm Doug McBurney, the host of the Weekly Worldview. I am not Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church. Bob is in parts unknown, traveling back, bound to return to the show this coming Monday, so definitely stay tuned. In the meantime, I'm honored to sit in for him and to finish what we started yesterday. Yes. I never did get to my definition of love. Not my definition, the definition. So I'm working on that right now. Working on the definition of love, but I'm plagued by technical difficulties. So, to cover for my embarrassment at being plagued by technical difficulties, I will cover some of the news of the day. And if you would like to comment, and if you'd like to call the program, the number to call is 1-800-836-9278. If you'd like to call the broadcast. Now, starting with the news of the day, from Geneva, which is in Switzerland for all you public school educators, Islamic nations are mounting a campaign for an international treaty to protect religious symbols and beliefs from mockery. You heard me right. That's the Muslims. Yes. They, Algeria and Pakistan apparently are lobbying to bring the proposal to a vote in the UN General Assembly. I'm sorry, the UN General Assembly, commonly referred to around here as the UN General Assembly. Let's see, countries from a 56-member organization of the Islamic Conference are currently lobbying a little-known Geneva-based UN committee, also known as an UN committee, to agree that a treaty protecting religions is necessary. It's a little bit disturbing to me to see what's happening in the Muslim world as to compared to what is happening in the Western, formerly Christian world. The Muslims are aggressively working to promote and protect respect for their religion. Meanwhile, the West, the United States, the former Great Britain, France, Spain, Canada, Mexico, Latin America, the former Christian West is doing all they can to cast off the religion that made the West possible. It's just disturbing. I'm going to give an example here. Well, I could give several examples, actually, as to the state of modern Christendom. But I want to give this particular example. From Columbia, South Carolina, this made the paper today. Daniel Webb died yesterday. His body was physically stuck to a power recliner, and firefighters had to cut him from the chair in order to take him to the hospital. He weighed approximately 550 pounds. After being cut from the chair, firefighters then cut a massive hole in the wall of his domicile and took him to the hospital, where he died a few hours later. His body was covered with sores and emitted a very bad odor. That's a quote from police, a very bad odor. Now, Webb's wife says that he slept in the chair. He used the bathroom in the chair, but she did clean it every day. Webb was a preacher who would post sermons online from the chair, and apparently had decided that he was ready to go home to the Lord. Not that Mr. Webb's circumstances speak for the state of the entire church, I think there are pockets of the church, of the body of Christ, still here on earth, who have not laid down in the power recliner and decided to just give up and wait for the end of the world and just determine it's time to head home and meet the Lord. There are pockets of the church in a few places around the world that are actively working to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth that he can redeem your mind and that he can reconcile your life to his. There are pockets, but I'm afraid that the overall state of the church, the Christian church, especially here in my neck of the woods, the United States of America, resembles Daniel Webb to a very uncomfortable degree. Let me just put it that way. All right. And meanwhile, over in Washington, D.C., there's a jousting match going on. It's really it's like a kabuki dance. The White House, according to the Associated Press, is on a collision course with Catholic bishops in an intractable dispute over abortion. Yeah, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops says that Harry Reid's new bill, the health care reform bill recently unveiled in the Senate, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops says it's the worst bill they've seen so far on the divisive issue of abortion. Now, you'll remember, and the Associated Press reminds us, that the bishops were instrumental in getting tough anti-abortion language adopted by the House a couple of weeks ago. You all remember that? The Stupak Amendment, supposedly designed to prevent government funding of abortions. Because Americans who call themselves pro-choice are for some reason uncomfortable with government funding of abortions. And I'm not sure why that is, because if they're pro-choice and they celebrate abortion as a right, well, they should be all for government funding of it. But apparently they're uncomfortable with it for some reason. And the Catholics are participating in this kabuki dance with the politicians, the House and the Senate, and they all play out their part. And at the end of the day, I'm afraid what's going to happen is not only is the United States government going to socialize the medical care system and basically plunge America to the depths of socialism, but they're also going to continue to fund abortion, because for anyone out there who's paying any attention at all, the United States government already funds abortion. I believe through Title 10, if I'm not mistaken, and I may be mistaken because I'm not a chapter and verse guy on bureaucratic laws, but they fund Planned Parenthood to the tune of, I think, about half the money Planned Parenthood gets every year is from the government. Folks, I'm concerned that perhaps the average man and woman out there who's working for a living and who's very busy and who doesn't have time to devote themselves to paying attention to the culture and politics and the state of things, I'm afraid that you, along with our conservative leaders, our Christian leaders, have bought into a false dialectic. And for all of you who went to public school, and for those of you who lost your minds in universities and colleges around the country, a dialectic is a form of philosophic argument in which an author typically has a debate taking place between two people on opposite sides of the issue. It's the dialectic form. And I'm afraid what I'm seeing every day in the news and in the culture, and it's driving me crazy. It's making me want to flee to, oh, that's right, there's nowhere to flee to. This is it. This is the United States of America. There's nowhere to flee. It's a false dialectic. The liberals and the conservatives, the Republicans and the Democrats, the Catholics against the House of Representatives, the Catholics against the Senate. It's all not just a false dialectic, it's a deceptive dialectic, and it's designed to consistently move the argument to the left. And it's been very successful in my lifetime. And I am so thankful that back in, let's see, 1994, that I heard a guy on the radio who at first I thought sounded a little bit crazy. I heard this guy on the radio And he was saying things that were so far to the right of the right, because I thought I was on the right. They were so far to the right that I thought he was moving off the edge of the world. That gentleman's name was Bob Enyart, and I heard him on the radio one night late, rebroadcast, like 1 a.m. Anyway, then I caught him on television a few months later and started becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ because Bob preached the gospel. And suddenly I realized that these things he was saying that were so far to the right, of anything right that I thought was right, they were all out of the Bible and from the mouth of Jesus Christ and the prophets and the creator of the universe. So the right has moved so far left as to have abandoned truth and the gospel and the Christian heritage that built this country. And we're all being victimized by this false dialectic, and we're being asked to choose between two options, both of which are poisonous to our spirit and to our nation, and especially to our children. Okay, so I've gotten that off my chest. Now, I want to get back to my... one more thing about the Catholics, okay? And it's not that I dislike the Catholics. I guess I'll just leave it at that. We'll let the news of the day speak for itself. From Wilmington, Delaware, the Catholic Diocese of Wilmington is obligated to pay retirement benefits to 6 priests who are confirmed pedophiles. Church officials are arguing this in a bankruptcy court filing seeking permission to keep making the payments to the confirmed pedophiles. Attorneys for the Catholic Diocese in Wilmington are seeking authorization to provide pensions, housing costs, and medical coverage to 6 confirmed child abusers. They cited an obligation to care for retired clergy, including priests dismissed from the public ministry. Yeah. The diocese says, quote, while several priests have been dismissed from the public ministry and have religious proceedings in the church pending against them, apparently to defrock them officially, the diocese says for the time being, they remain clergy. Now, these are priests who've been convicted of crimes against children. And the diocese there in Wilmington is seeking to continue giving them welfare benefits for whatever reason. So while the Muslims work day and night to build up honor and respect for their religion, here in the West, well, we've just lost touch with our religion. Well, certainly at the Catholic Church. And from what I can tell, a goodly portion of the Protestant Church as well. Now, I want to get to my definition of love because I didn't get to it yesterday, and I apologize for that, but I got a little bit excited about other things. Let me shuffle through my papers because, okay, so we have a caller. Okay. So, David and Thornton, you have some nerve. Go ahead and speak your mind.
Doug McBee, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Hey, I just want to say I'm really happy that... The personhood amendment movement has started.
David, I'm happy myself.
You know, because like we've been the Roe versus Wade was handed down in 73. That means we've been in the wilderness for almost 40 years, and nothing has changed. Babies are still being murdered.
So we can thank heaven that there is some hope. The personhood amendment.
We have to stand our ground and stand for life and stand against murder.
Well, good for you, David. Thank you very much. Thanks for an encouraging word. Right when I was starting to lose faith, David calls in, part of the brightest audience in the nation, to give me some hope and remind me that the personhood movement is growing by leaps and bounds every day, despite the best efforts of those who have bought into the false dialectic and assume that we have to choose to regulate the killing of unborn children. Now, I want to read a note that I got from a blogger, but before I do that, searching through my paperwork here to try to... I was plagued with so many difficulties before the broadcast that... Okay, you'll remember that I quoted from The Catholic diocese in, I forget where, Nevada, whatever. Yesterday, they said that the courts were the greatest threat to the unborn children, the greatest threat to children. And I asserted that the greatest threat to children was the hearts and attitudes of the mothers. So before I outline the definition of love, I want to portray for you the definition of what truly is the greatest threat to our future. From Fayetteville, North Carolina, a 5-year-old North Carolina girl was apparently violated and killed the same day she was taken from her home. Shania Davis was assaulted and asphyxiated to death November 10th, the day her mother reported her missing. Mario McNeil is charged with first-degree murder. The girl's mother, Antoinette Davis, is charged with filing a false police report, trafficking her daughter, and child abuse, among other charges. So here's a mother trafficking her daughter to be used and abused and eventually killed. So I would assert to those who have bought into this false and deceptive dialectic that it is the attitude that we as a culture have inculcated into the mothers of our nation that has become the greatest threat to our children, born and unborn. And there is only one way to change that spirit, and that is to start teaching the next generation that every human being is a person endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among those are life, liberty, property, due process of law, and no person should be denied any of those rights without due process of law. And the only way to teach the next generation that lesson is to codify it in the highest laws of our land, of our nation. And as David said in his encouraging phone call, it's the personhood movement that seeks to do just this and offer a new dialectic, arguing that it is only the protection of all human persons that should be codified in law, because the law is the great teacher. All right, so there's the greatest threat to our children. It's not the courts. It's not the Supreme Court. It's the fruit of what the Supreme Court, which, by the way, whether one wants to admit it or not, what the Supreme Court has done does accurately reflect to a great degree the will of the people of this nation. It does, to a great degree. And then that's a sad commentary on the state of the West, the state of our nation. All right, now, I got a note from a pro-abortion blogger. I've been exchanging notes, arguments, debating, jousting with various pro-abortion bloggers. And I got a note the other day, and I've been saving it up. Here's a note from a pro-abortion blogger to give you an idea of where one's heart can descend once you accept the idea that you can kill innocent people for your own convenience. Here's a note from the pro-abortion blogger. She says, an unwanted pregnancy is not innocent. It is guilty of trespassing and theft. It is in the process of committing the most intimate home invasion possible as it violates her very body. There is vast legal precedent for using lethal force to protect one's home and person. If an embryo can be a person, it can also be a criminal. So that's the heart of one woman who posts to one of the Nevada newspapers. I've been exchanging arguments with various pro-aborts out there. So that's the heart of one woman out in Nevada. That's the depths to which her heart has sunk. She calls the unborn child a criminal and advocates using lethal force to protect her person. And she says if an embryo can be a person, it can also be a criminal. And you know what? I'd like to see that debated in court.
instead of debating in our courts and our legislators how we should regulate the killing of unborn persons, I would like to see this argument in court. I'd like to see this woman's argument in the Supreme Court. Is it a person? And if it is a person, can it also be a criminal? I'm willing to take that chance if you would just grant the personhood of the unborn child. Grant us the personhood of the unborn child, and we shall let the chips fall where they may. All right, now love. I want to talk about love. From the New King James Version of the Bible. Warning, 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 Will Robinson. There are Bible verses up ahead for those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity. We know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would not tolerate anyone who would ever dare read a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered from the book of 1 Corinthians. And I'm not going to quote you the chapter and verse, because just pick up the whole book and read it. It'll be good for you. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, Paul says, never fails. So it's hard to add anything to the biblical definition of love. But as a radio host, you're supposed to comment on things. But I'm not going to comment on it myself, because another fine preacher of the word, a man who is not sitting in a power recliner, as a matter of fact, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, he's boiled down the definition of love to just a few words. Love, says Pastor Bob Enyart, is the commitment to the good of another. Period. Pretty good. I mean, it boils down the passage from 1 Corinthians into just a few words. And in today's modern culture, that's something that you could even fit on Twitter. Love is the commitment to the good of another. And I would add to that, since I'm a radio host and I'm expected to make some sort of cogent commentary on whatever I'm talking about, I would add that love is the commitment to the good of the other, to the good of another, regardless of the immediate consequences. Because quite often, love for someone else leads one to rebuke another and to warn another that their behavior is dangerous, that their behavior is unseemly, that it's not beneficial, even that it's wicked and sinful. Sometimes, if you love someone else, you'll warn them that what they're doing, what they're believing, what they're advocating is counterproductive. And the immediate consequences of that are typically anger, resentment, disconnect of the relationship. You know, I've had that happen in my life with Pastor Bob. He's confronted me on several subjects over the 12 or 13 years that we've known each other. He's confronted me on more than one occasion about attitudes and behaviors in which I was engaged that were counterproductive, even destructive, sinful. And it was pretty uncomfortable, I must say. More so for him, I think, than for me. And there was some resentment on my behalf. And I quite often would mull in my mind and think, well, you know, he's not perfect either. But then I would always realize that, especially as I went to the scriptures, I would realize that the only reason Pastor Bob told me these things and confronted me on these issues was because he loved me and he cared about, he had a commitment to my good, regardless of the immediate consequences. And I'm thankful to have a resource like that in my life. And I would welcome anyone here in the Denver listening audience and even around the country, nay, even around the world, that if you want to find a good church, come to Denver, Colorado, and visit Denver Bible Church. Go to denverbiblechurch.com, and you can find out about us. And come and visit us, and see what we do. See if we talk the talk and walk the walk. Come to a church where you can hear the gospel boldly proclaimed,
and then see members of the body going out into the streets and implementing that gospel in daily life. I welcome you to come and visit. Okay, I've only got a few more minutes. Got to my definition of love. I got a few more stories here, but I got to tell you, it's not very encouraging. You listen to the news of the day, as I do quite often, and you start wondering if the entire world has lost their mind. And if the things that we, the horrible things that have been written in novels and that were imagined by conspiracy theorists 25 years ago, if they're all not about to take place in the next 6 months. It's really scary to see what's going on out there. Do I want to do this story? No, I really don't. Well, I'll do it. Here's the state of America, ladies and gentlemen. From Thousand Oaks, California, a 39-year-old Southern California man has been arrested for misdemeanor child annoyance after he allegedly paid a teenager $31 to spit in his face, yell profanities at him, and slap him in the face. Several other teenagers also claim that he offered the money to... I can't read that on the air. Anyway, to do other relatively disgusting, heinous things. The guy's name is Charles Hersel, and authorities say he contacted the teenagers through the MySpace social networking site. Anyway, do I have anything to promote? Oh, the fundraiser. Personhood USA, Personhood Colorado. There's going to be a fundraiser on December 6th at Cinzetti's Italian Restaurant. Plates are how much plates? $5,000 each? $75 each. They might as well be giving away this dinner. Come down, folks, and find out where the hope for the future of Western civilization resides. We'll be in that small crucible there at Cinzetti's Restaurant on Saturday, December 6th. I think we're starting at about 6 p.m. You can hear personhood advocates speak boldly, confidently, about where we're headed, no matter where the rest of the world's going. And let me tell you, folks, it looks like it's headed straight to hell with jet rockets from where I'm sitting, here high atop the continent in the middle of America here. No matter where they're going, we in the personhood movement know where we are going. And we intend to take as many of you with us as we can, but you have to want to go. And you have to want to finally stand up and decide that our nation was founded on the idea that every human person deserves the protection of love and of law. So I've explained love. Go to Personhood USA and find out what we're doing about the law. Come to the fundraiser December 6th at Cinzetti's Restaurant. And thank you for tuning in. Bob will be back Monday. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. May the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you, and always remember to do right and risk the consequences.